Seminar for us on the topic of money. So I guess there's about a million things we could have done after this morning if we were going to zoom in on one practical way that we offer ourselves as slaves to righteousness. The reason that we're doing this is not a giving slot, just to be clear. This is partly responsive to stuff that you've asked for. So one of the things that we try and use a day like this for is to respond to things that you've said, hey, you know, could we have some teaching on whatever? And just, there's a lot of chat at the moment, obviously, about cost of living and how we think about money and giving as Christian people with all of the challenges that there are. So that's the context for Pete coming to talk to us about this. It's not a giving slot. We're not going to ask for all your cash at the end of the meeting. But first, Pete Mox is going to bring us a reading. Let me pray, and then I'll hand over to Pete. Father, what a great privilege that you've brought us alive in Jesus to walk in newness of life. And as we think about money now, as we think about other things in the question time and discussion later, we do pray that it would be a joy for us to offer ourselves and every part of us in your service. Amen. Thanks, Pete.
Oh, we're reading from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 10 to 18. That is on page 357 of the Church Bibles. Therefore, David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly, and David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own we given you. For we are strangers before you, and sojourners, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house and for your holy name comes from your hand, and is all your own. I know, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. In the uprightness of my heart, I have freely offered all these things. And now I have seen your people who are present here, offering freely and joyously to you. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the hearts of your people and direct their hearts towards you."
Thanks, Pete, for reading. As Kev said, for those who don't know me, my name's Pete. I'm part of the church family, normally here on a Sunday morning. It's lovely to see some new faces. Brilliant to be here with you this afternoon to be thinking about this really important topic of money. So after quite a long break, I thought it'd be good to get our heads in the zone. And so we're going to discuss a quick question up on the screen. You've got 2 or 3 minutes. Turn to the person or the two people next to you and just discuss the question up on the screen. Why do Christians need to think seriously about money and think about the positive aspects of that, think about the negative sides of that? 2-3 minutes, we'll come back together. Whether we like it or not, money is a really big part of our lives. A number of people here earn it. Some people have jobs managing it, and all of us spend it. And so it's really important that we take some time to have a think about what the Bible says about money. So money is on our minds. It's, I don't know if it's a British thing or not, but it's not something that we normally like to talk about very often. But it's something which the Bible, and in particular the New Testament and Jesus, talks about a lot. And so it's really important that we hear what the Bible has to say about it, and we let its teaching shape our thinking and in turn our actions. So our aim in today's short session is just to look at some important principles that the Bible gives us in regard to money. And then to take some time today, and hopefully going forward, think about what it will look like to put those principles into practice in our lives. And we're going to spend the majority of our time in that passage that Pete read, 1 Chronicles 29. This is a passage that comes toward the end of David's life. God has established the kingdom of Israel under David. And in 1 Chronicles, David is making plans and preparations for building God's temple. In chapter 28, David has charged Solomon with the work of building the temple, and he shares with him the plans for it. The scale of the project is enormous. So magnificent, it makes Buckingham Palace look like a garden shed. And at the start of chapter 29, we see David's personal contribution toward the temple. It's somewhere in the region of £4 billion in today's money. And that's just the gold and silver elements of it. And then in verse 6, we see the contribution which is made by the people of Israel. Somewhere in the region of £6.5 billion. But I want us to concentrate on David's prayer from verse 10 and to notice two really big things which come from it. The first, then, it's all from God. As we've already described, the amounts of money involved in this building project are absolutely eye-watering, over £10 billion in modern money. But I wonder if you noticed the manner with which this money was given. Verse 9, then the people rejoiced, for the people had given willingly, for with a whole heart they had offered freely. But who am I, in verse 14, who am I and what is my people that we should be able thus to offer willingly? And verse 17, I have freely offered all these things, and now I have seen your people who are present here offering freely and joyously to you. In fact, the real success of this fundraising push seems to not be the amounts raised, but the manner with which it was given. Look down at verse 18. David says, O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Israel, our fathers, keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the hearts of your people. The Old Testament's command for giving was that of a tithe, kind of percentage of your income. But what we're seeing here is not an arbitrary tithe. This is lavish, abundant giving. This is people giving just as much as they possibly can. So how was it that David and the people of Israel were able to give such huge sums of money freely and joyfully? Well, it's because they realize that everything they have comes from God. And that idea, it comes up all the way through these verses, but we see it most clearly in verses 14 and 16. Look with me at verse 14. For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. And verse 16. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house for your holy name comes from your hand and is all your own. You see, the Israelites aren't giving away their stuff to God. They're giving God's stuff to God. I remember when I was a little boy, I was about 6 years old, I went out shopping for my mum's birthday present, with my mum, naturally. And she gave me £10. I went round the shop and I chose what turned out to be a fairly ugly dolphin brooch, which she absolutely loved and which she still has to this day. This wasn't a case of me spending my hard-earned money on my mum. Everything I had come from her. And it was right that I spent it on her. It would have been a really sad thing, wouldn't it, if I'd chosen to keep that money to myself. It all came from her, and it was right to spend it on her. We live in a really self-sufficient generation, don't we? We work hard, we get the qualifications, we get the job, we get the money, and it's our money. You see, if we think like that, then our giving, it's not going to be abundant and joyful like David and Israel's was. It's going to be half-hearted and resentful and bitter. you notice how different our natural mindset of my money? Do you see how different that is to verse 12? Verse 12 says, in your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. The qualifications, the job, the brain that you have, they're all a good gift from the Lord. And I think there lies one of the big challenges in this passage. Often when it comes to thinking about giving and money, we phrase the question, how much of my stuff can I afford to give to God? When David shows us, the question should be, how much of God's stuff can I justify keeping for myself? We're going to spend a few minutes just discussing this question in light of that. It took 3 or 4 minutes amongst your twos and threes. So we've seen that part of right thinking about money comes from recognizing that everything we have comes from God. But there's another really striking point that we see within this passage. Another part of David and Israel's free and joyful giving comes from their excitement in partnering in God's big building project. Look at verse 14 with me. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able thus to offer willingly? And then verse 15. For we are strangers before you and sojourners as our fathers were. Our days on earth are like a shadow and there is no abiding. You see, they realize the insignificance of themselves. And so they are blown away at the thought and the privilege of being part of something more permanent. Not self-sacrifice for the sake of self-sacrifice. This is about putting your money into something that really matters and something that will last. Again, we live in a world which is all about the here and now, instant gratification. And it's just really easy to forget the very obvious fact that the things that we buy will last for no time at all. Jesus reaffirms this later in Luke 12. His words are on the slide. I hope. Yeah. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches, no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. As Christians, we know there are some things that we can invest in that will last way beyond our lifetimes. For David and Israel, that was the temple. For us, there's something even more permanent, God's eternal kingdom, his church. If David was excited about being part of God's temple building project, how much more exciting is it for us to be part of building God's church, his eternal building project? It's really easy, isn't it, for me to say I'm living for eternity. It's really easy for me to persuade people that I think that the new creation is what's really important and that my passion is getting people there. But in verse 34 of Luke 12, Jesus shows us how we can work out where our passions and our desires really lie. It's where we put our money. Verse 34. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The things we spend our money on are the things we have our heart set upon. So let me ask us, if we were to look at your bank statement this afternoon, what would it say about where your heart is? Now, of course, we're not going to do that for lots of reasons, including it being illegal. but I, for one, am fairly glad about that. Sure, if you saw mine, I may well be ashamed. Well, what would it look like for us to store up treasure in heaven? For David and for Israel, it's quite easy, the great building project of the day. For us, it's not quite so straightforward. The New Testament gives us lots of commands about how we should use our money. These instructions include caring for parents, giving to the poor, supporting our ministers, using money to make friends and get them into the kingdom, furthering the growth of the gospel, providing for your family's needs. The point here is not to be prescriptive, to say X percent of your money should go here and X percent of your money should go there. It's far more important that we see and we come to really believe that everything we have is for God. And with that shift in mindset, rather than my focus being on kind of spending money for my own pleasures and desires, instead we will align our lives and our finances more and more with God's big plans and desires. So like David and Israel, we could say it's all for God. We've got another couple of questions we're going to spend a few minutes on. It's all for God. What do you find appealing about that sort of thinking? What do you find challenging? And what will be the hallmarks of Christians who believe it's all for God? Take 3 or 4 minutes to discuss that in our groups. So, like I said at the start of this session, money is something which we're all involved with in one way or another. And I'm very aware that for many of us, at least, at some point in our lives, it will have been a point of real anxiety, failure, perhaps guilt and shame. And this cost of living crisis may well have caused some of those feelings to arise in us. Now, I think that's one of the reasons Jesus taught quite so much about money. It's a real tragedy that in today's culture, and particularly in our circles, it's often the one thing that Christians are reluctant to speak about. So you can ask me about my thought life, you can ask me about my family, my marriage, you can even ask me about my sexual purity. But money, that's a thing that's off limits. And so by way of closing, I just wanted to remind us where money sits in the gospel timeline, so to speak. So godly stewardship of our money and our resources, it's a really important part of our discipleship, something we should take seriously, something we should be seeking to grow in. But it's really, really important that we remember that our discipleship with money is something which comes out of and flows from the grace and mercy shown to us by the Lord Jesus. The early chapters of Romans gloriously unpack the wonderful grace and forgiveness of the Lord Jesus. Paul shows us that Jesus has died to set us free from all guilt and shame, even the guilt and shame of our failures with money. And it's his work, not ours, which restores us to a right relationship with God, which brings us into his kingdom. We need never feel the burden of our failures anymore. Jesus has paid the price fully for those through his death on the cross. So as we think about money and as we talk about money, we do so in light of the mercy which Jesus has first shown us. So as we close, I just wanted to share some details of some resources for those of us who may be struggling with money, who have friends struggling with money. Great to talk to your small group leader about that. Cranston, who's at the back, he's our church treasurer. He'd also be a good person to talk to if you need some financial expertise. And then there's a book by Ash Carter, which you can get on Amazon. I'm sure your small group leader would be happy to buy that for you. Ash Carter, Money Manager. This is what the blurb on Amazon says. Ash Carter looks at the nuts and bolts of our daily financial decisions and shows us how such decisions can best serve God's greater purposes. We find a godly yet simple model of Christian money management that we can adapt for our own purposes, an accessible step-by-step guide to establishing good practices. And then there's the money charity helpline as well. As we finish, why don't I pray? Lord, we long to live our lives that are pleasing to you, Lord. We long to think about our money in a way that really pleases you. So as we do that, as we think about that, Lord, please would you remind us of the glorious grace and forgiveness of our Lord Jesus. And Lord, would we seek to bring this area of money more and more under the kingship of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thanks, Kid.
Hey, Pete, thanks so much. Pete's been struggling with his voice today. You might have picked that up. So thank you very much, Pete, for still coming and doing that for us. Really helpful, isn't it? Really important stuff for us to be thinking about there. And we've got a few minutes, just about 10 minutes, just back in whoever you've been chatting with, and maybe just say something that you've needed to hear from today. Sometimes it's helpful just to think, okay, maybe of all the things, maybe from Pete's session there, or from things that we heard this morning, maybe from things that, you know, truth that other people have spoken in love into your life through the day as we chatted about these things. Maybe just share one thing, and then get on to pray, and we'll break in about 20 minutes. It'll be 20 minutes when we break in.